What Christmas meant to me. Part two. Part two is, as a father of four, father of a young family, we were married in 1971, in April, and exactly 1 year later, to the date our firstborn, our son, was born, exactly on our first wedding anniversary, which was magical in both ways. So I want to remember or relate how Christmas, or what Christmas meant to me, when all four of my children were there, and since my firstborn was on a leap year, and all the other children, three girls, were all born exactly 4 years later, but not on the same day. So 4 years, 4 years, and 4 years. So let's say 12 years later on, from 1972, when my last child was born. So I guess that makes 1984, which time I'm 34 year old. But let's jump forward a wee bit, since it would only be a newborn baby, or not very old by the time the first Christmas comes. Let's go 2 or 3 years further on. So by the time I get to 1986, 87, because I have a specific picture in my mind, one that I also filmed. I had the means to film and not just take photographs. Unfortunately, I did not have Audio Boo at that time, which would have been absolutely fantastic to have, no matter. So, picture the scene. It's Christmas Eve. The weather then was not as accurate or constant as it was when I was a young boy. Winters were not necessarily as cold or bitter, but we did, and it's still fresh in my memory, we did get loads of snow and ice, and some really cold weather, because I can remember the pipes bursting while I was out working. The pipes in the kitchen froze, and then when they thawed, they burst, and I had to race home. And at that time, we had our four kids, so yeah, it must have been pretty cold then. But anyway, what I remember about those times was, from Christmas Eve, with all striking off work for a start, and my job as an electrical engineer, we did not get a lot of time off at all at Christmas or New Year, usually a couple of days maximum, because then we'd do so much work when the industry was closed for a 2 week period, say over that particular period, festive season, when the workers, the normal workers, would be off, and we would be doing so much maintenance and installation of new plant and equipment. So those 2 days were precious to me, as were the two at New Year. So by Christmas Eve, we'd have spent many, many hours running around shops and stores, searching out what we were going to buy the kids. And of course, by that time, we had much more money in our pocket than my mother and father, my parents, did at the same time when I was a young lad. There was no computer, there was no Google, there was no Amazon. There was nothing like that. You had to either go in your car or go in the bus or train and go and visit the stores personally. There wasn't even an Argos then. There wasn't an Argos catalogue. So everything had to be done manually. It was as simple as that, but that everybody had to do it. There was no knowledge of future ways of doing things, so you just got on with it. And sometimes it meant loads of trips into Glasgow or Edinburgh to try and find that elusive toy or present for your kids. And so by Christmas Eve, the kids were all wound up. Of course they were, totally excited about Christmas. The decorations would all be up, the tree. And at that time, we still put up those decorations at became compact and expanded out, and you pinned, using drawing tacks, drawing pins into the ceiling or into the walls. The kids are great fun giving you a hand with that, or repairing the torn paper ones. Invariably did not last a year in the attic. But anyway, that was great, a good Christmas Eve. But then we'd be praying, and since we had the kids, we always, pretty much always went to midnight mass, something which is so elusive nowadays. So by 5 p.m., 6 p.m. on Christmas Eve, we would be having our last bite to eat, as it were, before going to Mass and Communion for midnight mass. And then we'd all get happed up and either walk to the chapel, which invariably we did do, because my family, when I had the four, we were staying up in my wife's hometown. Chapel was only half a mile down a lane, and so we wouldn't have taken a cab, we would have walked across like so many other people would have done. And so you would have mixed with families and their kids, all heading on their pilgrimage to the chapel, to the warm, cosy, candlelit chapel, with so many hymns being played, just the organist, before, long before the Mass started, because there was always a service of Christmas hymns about three quarters of an hour to an hour before the Mass actually began. And that was just, or probably more enjoyable, dare I say, than the Mass, because you were relaxed, you got your jacket and scarf and your hat off, and everyone just sat and had a wee blether in between the hymns, etc. I thoroughly enjoyed the whole build-up to the priest coming in and beginning that wonderful midnight service. And of course these went on till about 1:30 in the morning, and by that time you're ready to get home and get a cup of tea, or in my case, possibly a dram or two, or a glass of whatever was available. Usually sherry that time. I didn't drink wine at all at that time, so whiskey or sherry. But anyway, back would be the trio, everyone pouring at the chapel and greeting each other with Merry Christmas, kisses and cuddles and hugs and handshakes, and probably spending quite a bit of time outside the chapel before we headed home, because everyone was so elated with the fact that, yeah, this is Christmas. This is Christ's birthday, and we're all here, we're all celebrating. Some people you might never have really spoken to from one year to the next, and there they were, and you just had to say hi, shake their hand, or give them a hug. So then it would be the trek back home, and possibly in snow or ice, back home to the house. In my house at that time, we had a big coal fire that hit the central heating as well, and had left a roaster on before we left, back the fire up, put the fire guard up, so that when by the time we got home, the house would be really warm. And so in through the front door with the kiddies. And this is at 2 a.m., I should say, at least 2 a.m., maybe later. And what we would allow them to do, rather than kick them off to bed right away, we always allowed them to open one or two presents each, small presents that we knew were from maybe the older folk around the scheme, who we knew had given them just a wee toy or a sweetie or something. And we'd allow them to open two or three presents each, and then bundled off to bed, because as soon as they were in bed, moving the world was about to happen, when all the bigger toys and presents had to be fetched from various places, whether it was in the shed, the garage, hidden away in cupboards, or in the attic, more likely. But how do you sneak in and out an attic? Well, very quietly and very difficult, to be perfectly honest with you. But you made sounds if you had to go into a cupboard or the attic, and you knew the kids were still listening and wondering what you were doing. You made sounds like, "Do you want that table down from the attic? I'll just give you it down. It'll do for the tea." "Aye, give me the table down." So you were trying to fool them into the fact what you were doing. Where in fact, you were trying to get the bike down, or the pram or whatever. So all that went on, and went on for a long while. By the time you had that living room, as we call it, the living room or lounge, arranged with my wife doing all the stockings, the socks hanging from the mantelpiece, stuffed with fruit and some pennies. Well, it wasn't more pennies, it was more silver than anything in those days, into the bottom of the socks so that what kids didn't know what they were getting. That was all done, the presents were all laid out, so we had this kid, that kid, the next kid, four kids, and each had a corner off the living room where their stuff would all be, and keep the fire going. And by 6 a.m. we'd be knackered. I'd be tired through drinking drams or sherry. My wife would be tired just through all the effort she'd had to put in preparing the Christmas dinner and all the shopping and packaging and parceling and getting the kids ready for mass and getting the kids into bed. And you went to bed shattered about 5 or 6 in the morning. And of course, you had to be back up about 2 or 3 hours later because we had to be the ones that were downstairs calling on the kids to say, you better get up because he's been, you better come down. And of course the rush of 4 kids falling out of beds with their eyes still closed, stumbling down the stairs, trying to beat each other to get to the living room, and then showing them their corner where all their presents were stashed, and watching their faces, and watching the excitement in their wee faces, and how they tore presents open to get in to see what they'd got, and standing there watching for the expressions on each present. Were they happy? Were they disappointed? And then taking photographs, and as I said, by the time I had 4, I had a camcorder the size of a big brick on a tripod, and filmed that. I still have that film. I'm watching them all just in their goonies or in their jammies, hunting through this present and that present and shouting to each other with excitement, even though they were next to each other, just exclamations and shouting. But look what I got, what did you get? Oh, you got that, I got this. It was just wonderful. It was magical. And then when we don't let them open so many presents, we don't let them, we always kept something. This was my wife's idea, and it was a clever idea. Always kept some presents back for Boxing Day and later on the day after dinner. So she never ever let them open all their presents at the one time. And that was a great thing because they knew that they had to get dressed and washed. And quite often, we'd go for a wee walk round the scheme, as we called it, the housing estate, to look at the people's Christmas decorations and Christmas trees, which would be kept that evening daylight. And then come back in time and back to a warm house for the dinner. My wife would be making the dinner. We'd have that with all the trimmings, as they say. We didn't have turkey at all. Turkey's not a Scotch thing. We'd definitely have had steak pie or stewed steak with pastry and seasonal veggies and not Brussels sprouts and maybe ice cream and fruit or Viennettas, which was a big favourite of the kids and us. And by that time you're into the afternoon, kids open some more presents, the telly's on, nobody's paying any attention, but the telly's on with the snowman, yes, Alan Jones going through there again as a snowman, and all the usual films that they play at over the Christmas festive season. No one really sat and watched because we were all stuffed from our dinner, we got tired, we loafed about, with kids play with their games that they've got, or squeezed another few chocolates into their mouth, another couple of chocolate Santas. By late evening, we were all done and off to bed early. And Boxing Day was the best day of the lot because that was the relaxation day. There was no big rush in the morning to do anything. We could have a bit of a long line before the kids dragged us out of bed. And that was the day when always the best movies were on Boxing Day, not on Christmas Day. And so you look forward to whatever great films were on the channels. And by the way, At that time, we had three channels. We had BBC One, BBC Two, and STV, Scottish Television. That's all we had, three channels. Not 1,033 channels, just three channels. But it was still good. I mean, between the three, you jumped about, you found exactly what you wanted to watch. And then that was relaxation. We had another dinner, but it'd be lesser dinner because you can only eat so much. Still bagged up in stuff from the day before. The kids now settling in, wearing their clothes that they'd got, playing with the toys and their presents, especially if they were big presents, and just having a generally great family day with the kids. And by the time the end of Boxing Day came, I wouldn't say the buzz was gone, but it was such an exciting 2 days that you really were glad of, well, let's say, peace and quiet. The kids in bed, me and the wife with our feet up. Me winding down with a dram, and the wife winding down with a chocolate biscuit and a coffee. Kids in bed, watch a late night movie. And just realise in a sudden moment that all those efforts, all those weeks and months of efforts, of saving, of spending, of hiding, presenting, packaging, preparing foods, serving dinners, and looking after 4 kids, it's just all passed in a flash, 2 days, and it's all gone. But hey, I'd never change it for anything. I still have that picture in my head. They were just excited as I was when I got toys that were worth very little nowadays. But, and even those gifts and presents that the kids got from us or from others were probably nothing to compare to what the kids get nowadays. But the same excitement was there, the same joy in their faces. I looked at them and I thought, that was me. That was me as a wee boy. And they were just excited as I was. And the memories of that, my 4 children, just being there in the same room as us on Christmas Day, just magical, magical stuff. Part 3, today, how I perceive Christmas today.